Luke chapter 2. Once again, we're returning to that verse 8. It's our text that we had for this morning. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. This morning we considered the angel and his meeting with the shepherds. We looked at the persons of the shepherds. Here we have these persons. We pointed out what a marvel it was that the announcement about Christ's birth was made not to princes or to kings. It wasn't made to those who live in a palace. It was made to humble shepherds in a field. And of course, it was most appropriate that the announcement was made to shepherds, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And all who know him can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." We looked also at the practice, what the shepherds were doing when the angel appeared unto them. We took time to look how the shepherds were with the sheep, as Christ is always with his sheep, the sheep of his fold. Not only with the sheep, they were watching the sheep. And Christ's eyes are always upon his people. We noted also the place. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. It wasn't any field, it wasn't a field. It was the field. We pointed out that it was in that particular field that sheep and lambs were kept, then taken to the temple in Jerusalem, 6 miles away, and used in sacrifices unto the God of heaven. We pointed out how interesting it was that in the field where the lambs and the sheep were kept for the sacrifice in the temple, that the announcement was made to the shepherds regarding the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. So we were dealing with the meeting with the shepherds. We want to go on with this study of this portion of Scripture. We want to see the angel and the message for the shepherds. The angel had a message for the shepherds. We read that the angel of the Lord came upon them and stood by them. We pointed out this morning that the angel wasn't hovering over the shepherd. Rather, the angel came down and stood by those shepherds in the field. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 9. And so the angel came with a message for those shepherds. One is to notice, first of all, the presence. We see that accompanying the angel, the one angel that came to tell the shepherds of the arrival of Christ, we're told the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. There's the presence. The glory of the Lord, spoken of here, is known as the Shekinah glory of God. That is the visible token of the presence of Jehovah. And so the presence of God was there in that field. The Shekinah glory, the visible token of the presence of God. So it is no wonder then that the shepherds were told they were afraid. Because you see, amongst the Jews, if they were to see a manifestation of God's glory, they believed that they would die. So we have the shepherds were afraid. If you go to the book of Judges, you'll see there what we mean. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." He was afraid. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." And so the Lord was calming the fears of Gideon, as we've already pointed out. When the Jews saw a manifestation of God's presence and power, they were afraid. They believed that they were going to die as a result of that. But these shepherds had no need to be afraid, because the glory of the Lord that shone, mark the words, the glory of the Lord that shone round about them simply drew attention to the infant that lay in Bethlehem's manger. We said this morning that everything that took place there regarding those shepherds in the field, everything pointed to Christ. And the glory of the Lord that shone round about the shepherds that night pointed to Christ. The glorious light that shone in the middle of the night in that field was simply announcing the arrival of the one, listen, the one who is the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8 and verse 12. And so the glory of the Lord shone, was a great light in that dark night, and it simply spoke to us and to the shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. As well as the presence, we notice also the peace. The angel of the Lord had a message of peace for those disciples. They were afraid, but mark the first words that the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds. The very first words. Verse 9, and though the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, "Fear not." And so we see that the angel had come with a message of peace, telling those fearful shepherds to fear not, because the message he had for them was one of peace. You have no need to fear. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so the whole message that was given by the angel that night to those shepherds had to do with peace. And the angel said to the disciples and to the shepherds, "Fear not." You have no need to fear. The message he had for them was one of peace, because the one who had come into the world had all to do with peace. Remember what Isaiah prophesied? For unto you a child is born, unto us, or unto you, a son is given. Mark the words. Unto you a child is born. It was the child that was born in Bethlehem's manger. Unto you a son is given. The son existed before the child was born in Bethlehem's manger. You carefully note the word. A child is born and the son is given. The father gave his son, the darling of his bosom, who was with the father from the beginning, who made all things, and without him nothing was made that was made. So the child was born and the son was given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That term, Everlasting Father, can be rendered the Father of Eternity. Christ, the Father of Eternity, and Prince of Peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And Paul in Hebrews 7 and verse 2 spoke about Christ as the King of Salem. You're down the 401 there. And you're near Pickering and you see a road, Salem Road. Every time I see that, I always think of this verse. Salem means peace. King of Salem, which is King of Peace. And that was the message the angel had that night for those shepherds. Fear not, because I bring you glad tidings of great joy. I'm here to tell you about the King of Peace. I'm here to tell you about the Prince of Peace. I'm here to tell you about one who would later say, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14, verse 27. So the shepherds were afraid. Mark this. The shepherds were afraid until the angel told them about Christ, Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. And I'll tell you, there's no one can replace fear with peace. No one but Christ. And when the angel told the disciples about the Lord Jesus Christ, their fear disappeared. And that's what Christ is able to do. He removes all fear and replaces it with peace. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So we have then the presence and the peace. Regarding this message, we have the particulars. The angel now tells the shepherds why he said, fear not. Look at verse 10. The angel said unto them, fear not, for, fear not, because, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There's that word, behold. The angel is drawing attention to the one that he's speaking about. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I want you to notice something. Those four English words, I bring good tidings. So you have the four English words in our authorized translation. I bring good tidings. Those four words come from one Greek word. And that one Greek word gives us the English word evangelize, or evangelical, or evangelistic. So what did that angel do that night? But he came and stood with the shepherds. Why? He evangelized them. How did he evangelize them? He brought to them good tidings. Isn't that what the gospel means? The word gospel means glad tidings, good tidings. And that's what the angel brought to those shepherds that night. He evangelized them. He brought them good tidings. He told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we speak to souls about the Lord Jesus Christ, what are we doing? We're evangelizing. We're telling others about the good tidings that brings great joy. We're telling them about Christ. And don't we have a wonderful message to use in evangelizing poor lost souls? We tell them the good tidings, which is the gospel. And the good tidings that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's good tidings. That is a great message. Good tidings. It's the gospel. And when sinners are saved upon hearing the good tidings, upon hearing the gospel, and they receive the Christ of the gospel, what does that bring them? Great joy. There you have the evangelizing of the shepherds by the angel, and there we're given an example of what we ought to do. We ought to evangelize. We ought to tell others about Christ. We ought to give them the good tidings of great joy. And when we see those dear souls saved by the grace of God, what will they have? They'll have great joy. They'll have great joy. They'll have the joy of the knowledge, my sins have been forgiven. My sins have been forgiven. And so here the angel of the Lord sets forth an example. The angel evangelized the shepherds. Let us do the same. When the opportunity arises, let us tell others about Christ. Let us give them the good news, the glad tidings, and tell them if they receive the Christ of the gospel, they'll have great joy. I bring you glad tidings of great joy. The angel evangelized the shepherds. Let us do the same. We have the presence. Then there was the peace, and then the particulars of the message. But then the angel came to the heart of the message. And here we have the person. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. Praise the Lord. A Saviour. A Saviour. A Saviour which is Christ the Lord. Three names. Saviour, Christ, Lord. All belonging to the second person of the Trinity. All belonging to the one who lay there in Bethlehem's manger. The person. Was there ever a greater announcement made? Was there ever, and has there ever been, a more glorious message delivered than the message that the angel gave to those shepherds? Told them about a Savior. Told them about Christ. Told them about the Lord. Savior, Christ, and Lord. Remember the message that the angel brought to Joseph? She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Jesus, as we all know, means Savior. Christ means anointed. Christ is the New Testament equivalent of Messiah. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the anointed Savior. He's the Savior, he's the anointed Savior and Lord. He is Christ Messiah. And what a truly wonderful message those shepherds were given that night. Told about the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And it is a message that has filled millions with wonder. Millions with wonder. Sure, whenever the shepherds went away and told others about what they had seen, others were filled with wonder. Of course. That a Savior should come into the world to save men from their sin. What a wonder that is. Why didn't God leave all of the fallen sons of Adam to perish in their sin and go to hell forever? Because that's what we all deserve. Every single one. That's what we deserve. Because we all have sinned against the Holy God. But instead, God sent his own Son into the world to be our Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One, to be our Lord. What a wonder this is. There's the wonder of sunset at evening. The wonder as sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me and sent his Son to die for me. And so the shepherds came and the angel came and evangelized the shepherds and told them about a Savior who was Christ the Lord. Let us do the same. The word angel means servant. Let us be angels in that sense. Let us be servants and tell others about Christ the Lord. Evangelize others. We've seen the presence and the peace, the particulars, the person. Now we see here also the pathway. Notice carefully what the angel said to the shepherds about the Christ child. Look at verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Ye shall find the babe. There's the pathway. Where were the shepherds? They were in the field. Where was the Christ child? In a manger in Bethlehem. Were there any difficulty finding the Christ child? Not according to the angel. The angel said, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The angel of the Lord told the shepherds that they would have no problem discovering the Christ. For he said, ye shall find. Sure, hasn't that been true of every seeking soul? Every soul that has come under conviction of sin and has sought the Lord for salvation, they've always found him. It's not as if the Lord hides away somewhere. The Lord Jesus is most accessible. He's easily found. Ye shall find. And it was 2 years later when the wise men came. No, they didn't come the same time as the shepherds. You study the word. Matthew 2, and you'll discover it was 2 years later. When the wise men came. And they came quite a distance. But they found the Christ. They had no problem finding him. They came, the wise men came from the east and came to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And they had no difficulty finding him. And when they found him, they fell down and worshipped him. Didn't worship Mary. They fell down and worshipped him. They worshipped the Christ. They had no problem finding him. And that's what the angel promised the shepherds, and ye shall find him. There's never been an earnestly seeking soul has ever failed to find Christ. As was said, he's accessible. Jairus had no problem finding Christ. That woman who was lived in the borders of Tyre and Sidon had no problem finding Christ. The lepers had no problem finding Christ. The lame had no problem finding Christ. The lonely had no problem finding Christ. As was said, he didn't go and hide away somewhere. And the angel, what the angel said to the shepherds that night, can be given to every seeking soul. Ye shall find him. And that's what the angel told the shepherds. As well as the presence and the peace and the particulars and the person and the pathway, we have here the prophecy. Look at verse 12. And ye shall be, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We say something in passing. This message from the angel to the shepherds, you'll notice something, it was a personal message. The angel came upon them, verse 9. Shone round about them. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. That's what the gospel is. It's a personal message to be accepted by people personally. In other words, a child cannot say, I'm saved just because my mom and dad are saved. Or a brother cannot say, I am saved because my sister is saved. No, it's something that is personal between the individual and the Lord. And we see here in all these references, the angel came with a message for those disciples. It was a personal message. It's for you. And when we preach the gospel from this pulpit, we can say to sinners sitting in this church, I have a message for you. I have a message from God for you. It's personal. But getting back to the prophecy, we're told, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. When a newborn child comes into the world, that the parents will do. I was reading about a mother who actually saw what the Jews do with their children. She wrote about it and how they would wrap the child so tightly. His arms would be down by his side and his feet covered. The child couldn't move. It was wrapped. And here Mary and Joseph did the same with the Christ child. Rich parents would wrap their child in a white shawl and then tie it with a golden band. Other rich parents would wrap their infant in a purple scarf fastened with an expensive brooch. But poor parents used broad strips of common cloth. And that, no doubt, is what Christ was wrapped in. But that which is prophetic is found in that word wrapped. Interesting, isn't it, how you can see a word like that and just pass over it and not really note the significance of it. Turn please to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. We go down to verse 52. Luke 23 and verse 52. This man, that's Joseph of Arimathea. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down, and there it is. Wrapped it in linen. And laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. You think of it. There is the Christ child, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's only a matter of hours old as a child. And there, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the child being wrapped, pointed forward to that day, approximately 33 years later, when he would be wrapped again. Not in swaddling clothes, but in grave clothes. And there's Joseph of Arimathea. And they wrapped the body of Christ. Mary and Joseph took the Christ child, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Christ, wrapped it in grave clothes, and laid it in a sepulchre. And you see how the two events are joined together, even though there's approximately 33 years apart, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and then later wrapped in the grave clothes. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, wrapped in grave clothes, and laid in a sepulchre. And there you have seeing Christ wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, speaks to us of why Christ came into the world. Be the Savior, Christ, the Lord. He came into the world to die upon the cross. Then when he cried, "It is finished," bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And Joseph of Arimathea went and begged the body of the dear Savior and wrapped him and laid him in a sepulchre. What a wonderful portion of scripture this is. We notice not only the presence and the peace, the particulars and the person, the path and the prophecy. We notice the praise. Considering all that we have with regard to the coming of Christ as a child at Bethlehem's manger, it is not surprising then that all heaven burst out into song and into praise. Verses 13 and 14, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angel sang in heaven. Would that not teach us then that when we are told about the one who was born in the city of David, when we are told about the Savior, when we are told about Christ, when we are told about the Lord, ought we not to praise Him? Ought we not to have that joy and thanksgiving in our hearts that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and came into the world to save you and me, believer? Well, the angels sang. And you know something? We have far more reason to sing than the angels. There is singing up in heaven, such as we have never known, where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. Their sweet harps are ever tuneful, and their voices are always clear. Oh, that we might be more like them while we serve the Master here. Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. See, we have more reason to sing than the very angels in heaven. And do we? When a psalm or a hymn is chosen, do we sing to the Lord with all our heart? We have more reason to sing than the angels have. And so as God's blood-bought people, we have every right to sing, and to sing with all of our hearts, to sing His praises for sending His Son into the world to be our Savior. So we have considered the angel and the meeting with the shepherds. We've just looked at the angel and the message for the shepherds. We come now to look at the mission of the shepherds. We read now what the shepherds did after being told about the Christ child. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing, this event, which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." All fear has gone now, see. And they said one to another, "Let us now go." There you have, regarding the mission of the shepherds, there you have their response. Their immediate response was, "Let us now go." We are told that the shepherds did respond to the good tidings about Christ. This is in contrast to many, who are given the good news about Christ the Savior, and there's no response. They can sit under the preaching of the good news of the gospel for years and there's no response. Here the shepherds, once they were told the good news, the glad tidings about the Savior, Christ the Lord, they said one to another, "Let us now go." There was an immediate response. Notice their haste. Upon receiving the news, the shepherds, we are told, said, "Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem." Now, they didn't say, "Well, we'll leave it till the morning. We'll leave it till the morning when it's daylight." No, they didn't say, as one of old did say, "We'll wait for a more convenient season." No, they said, "Let us now go." They were going to go immediately. And the Christ child would not always be in that place where sinners will find him. Those who sit under the preaching of the word and hear the good news of the gospel for years, if you look there at the verse 39 of Luke 2. "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee and to their own city, Nazareth." But the aim of the shepherds had not have gone then and had waited and waited and waited. They would never have had the opportunity to see the Christ child because Mary and Joseph returned to Nazareth. But instead, the shepherds made haste. They came with haste. Oh, that sinners today would show the same haste and make their way to Christ and receive him as Savior. "Let us now go." And the verse 16 tells us that, "And they came with haste." Didn't waste any time. "Let us now go." And they came with haste. It's not what the Lord said to Zacchaeus. Didn't the Lord say to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." And we read, "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." He did what the Lord told him to do. The Lord said, make haste and come down. And Zacchaeus came down. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There's the joy again. Receive Christ and you have great joy. And Zacchaeus experienced the joy that day. And the disciples experienced, or sorry, the shepherds experienced the same joy. But notice the haste, and then the house. The house. That is the house where Mary and Joseph were abiding with the Christ child in the manger. But another house is mentioned here. What do we read? They came to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, where the manger was. In verse 15, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go unto Bethlehem. There's the house that Mary and Joseph were staying in that we mentioned this morning was a very humble dwelling. And there was the Christ child in a manger, bound in swaddling clothes. Now we know from past studies, wherever you come a place name that begins with Beth, Beth means house. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Isn't that interesting? And there once again we see the purpose of a sovereign God revealed to us. Why? Why was the birth of Christ revealed to shepherds? We dealt with that this morning. We can ask ourselves, why was Christ born in Bethlehem? Why not somewhere else? Why not Jerusalem? Born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the house of bread. And who is Christ? He's the true bread from heaven. John 6 verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. And the one who lay in Bethlehem's manger, lay there in the house of bread, is none other than Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And all who receive him receive life. And life eternal. Wonderful story, isn't it? Regarding the shepherds, we've seen their response. We noticed then their report. This was the mission they were on. As they wasted no time making their way to Bethlehem. So they wasted no time in telling others. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen, notice the word it is in italics, it's not in the original. And when they had seen, they made known abroad. When they had seen the Christ child, they made known. See that? The words follow after each other. When they had seen, they made known. They didn't waste any time with their report. We learned about Anna last week. And Anna saw the Christ child when he was brought into the temple. And what did she do? She went out immediately and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. No sooner had she seen the Christ child than she went and told others who needed to be redeemed. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 41. And he first findeth his own son Simon, that's Andrew. Andrew finds his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So Andrew found Philip. When Andrew met the Lord, he went and told Philip. Look there at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. See what happened? Each one of these individuals, when they found Christ, when they saw Christ, first thing they did was to go and tell others. Remember what the angel said in verse 10? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just to a few. Evangelize all people. This shall be to all people. And that's what the disciples did. In Mark 16, the Lord told the disciples, in verse 50, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, preach the good tidings. And the angel said, this shall be for all people. Let us evangelize and tell others about Christ, the Savior, our Lord. So you have the response, you have the report, then you have the rejoicing. But we are told in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and was told unto them. They returned rejoicing because they had seen Christ. We have that joy in our hearts. Have we seen Christ by faith, received him as Savior? He came into the world to be our Savior. Born of a virgin, led in a manger, a humble place, and the good news delivered to shepherds, because he is the shepherd. And when they saw him, they went out and evangelized. They went out and told others that they had seen the Lord. Let us do the same. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Oh dear Lord, we bless thee for the coming of Christ into this world. We thank thee, Lord, for the teaching there in these verses, that everything that took place there among the shepherds and at Bethlehem points to the cross and the reason and the purpose for Christ coming into the world. Dear Lord, bless the word to every heart. And may we ever, when the opportunity is afforded, to sing the praises of the Lord with all of our hearts, for we have more right to sing than the very angels in heaven. Lord, be with each one throughout this week. Keep all our families safe and well, and each one in our families. And oh Lord, as there is a coming together on Christmas Day, there be a blessed time and a safe time. Remember all the frontline workers in hospitals and homes. Oh Lord, we thank thee for them and their courage. Bless them and keep them safe. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now. And until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.